Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Here we go. Episode 8 of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Again, live here from the Tribune Tower on the 7th floor of the beautiful Michigan Avenue studios that we call the WGN studios. I am Mike Jacobson from WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the Red Eye, the sister publication, I guess you would say, of the Chicago Tribune. Brother, sister.
It's in the family.
It's in the family.
Just say something familiar and people understand. People in the city know Red Eye.
That's so, right.
And understand the analogy there.
I really do love the Red Eye. You guys got a lot of good stuff
Thank
there.
Thank you. Yeah,
and,
it's fun.
And including a couple of great pieces that you had we're going to get into later on in the podcast today. One talking about, we take a slice of the bread man in one of them, and then we get to
pun.
And we also get to know some of the younger guys as well.
Yes.
So we'll get into that later today. Of course, the Blackhawks played last night, Tuesday night. They get a nice win, 4-1 win over the what's becoming a nice rival with the Nashville Predators. Of course, had that great playoff series last year. And they're actually going to see him again tomorrow night, so a back-to-back with them. We'll also kind of take a look back at the Jets game on Sunday, maybe even look back to Ottawa from last Thursday. Patrick Kane continues to roll.
Unbelievable.
We
should change the name of the show to Patrick Kane's Point Streak,
because really,
that's all we talk about.
I know
we're going to talk about it every week.
And you have to, you know, when I put it on the website, WGNradio.com, where you can get this podcast, which, if you're listening to this right now, I'm assuming that's where you went to get it. Or you can go to soundcloud.com/WGNRadio.
I heard it's bootlegged all over the city, so who knows?
It's all over
the place. Who knows if people are getting it, but we appreciate it.
But when you label the podcast, you always have to put something. Like, I'm running out of ways to say it. Kane's point streak continues.
It's always in there, yeah.
Kane keeps rolling. Kane's cruising. Like, I don't know how to do it.
Still hot.
He's unbelievable.
Is not unhot yet.
He's been on fire, as always, and 23 points now. He passed Bobby Hull the other night. We will definitely get into that. Also, we have the, as my phone goes off there, we also
You're an important
have,
guy, Mike.
I know.
Well, everyone knows it.
Kind of a big deal.
Stop rubbing it in our faces.
And we also got to get into Brian Bickell. He is back up from Rockford and made his presence felt on Sunday.
Bixie's back,
and the hits, they were coming. And he's brought that physicality with him. So we'll get into that. Very motivated man right now, Brian Bickell. We had a scary injury, too, with Trevor Daley, which could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, it looks like he's going to be okay. That was awful. And everyone's hearts dropped when that happened.
Very scary. When you see a stretcher come out, everybody's hearts drops a little bit.
It's so rare that it does. So, you know, it could be bad when it happens.
And what else we got here? We had a Runblad sighting last night. Talk about that. And more of a serious story. To get into maybe later on as well, is Steve Montador's family is going to be suing the NHL for accusing the league of failing to basically inform him about the permanent ramifications and consequences of the injuries,
right,
essentially, that he sustained. And he passed away earlier this year, and it was found out that he had CTE, which a lot of people know. CTE has been linked with a lot of NFL players through concussions. It's a degenerating brain disease that these guys end up
with, a lot of awful symptoms.
Yeah, that they end up
go through
getting from headshots in their respective sports. So get into that serious topic too a little bit later on. But we'll start with last night. Blackhawks get a nice win, 4-1 win. Again, we mentioned Kaner gets his point streak extended. So we go from Sunday night. He extends it to 22 games, breaks Bobby Hull's
record. Sets a new record.
With a hand pass.
Unbelievable.
And then last night, to extend it to 23, he does an empty netter with, what, a minute and a half left in the game, maybe?
Yes, and something I called like it as soon as they pulled the goalie. I did call it on Facebook, I'll say.
Did you?
On the Blackhawks Crazy Facebook account. I did.
And you can, make sure you go to our Facebook
And I believe
account.
I also called that his streak would go to, and unfortunately end at, 24 games, I said.
That is right.
And I think you said 18 or 19.
Yeah, I've been long gone. Yeah, I think I said it was going to end against the Kings. So that's how long ago that was.
Yeah.
So I'm not much of a prediction.
I could be right about that as well. We'll see.
So actually, you know what? Actually, let's hear how it sounded from Mr. John Whiteman, WGN Radio, as Patrick Kane extended his streak to 23 games.
Hjalmarsson along the far boards, now in the corner, works it free to Panarin on the right wing boards. To Kane at center ice on the left wing, a long shot, he scores! Make it 23 straight games with a point. Patrick Kane fired it into an empty Predator net. And with 1:36 left on the clock for the third period, that's all she wrote. It's 4-1 Hawks.
That's why he's the best. John Weideman on the call right here at WGN Radio. You also heard it on WGNRadio.com.
He does an awesome job.
He's unbelievable.
You listen to those goals late in cup-winning games. I mean, listen to replays during any of the playoff games. Weideman's great. He does such a good job.
He's the best. Total pro. Total pro. So, yeah, 18-24, that was the goal in the third period. So, yeah, about a minute and 36 seconds left. Gets the empty netter, Patrick Kane. So that was pretty cool. And also last night, an NHL, his first goal, his first ever goal in the NHL.
And his first ever game.
Dennis Rasmussen gets his first goal. And that was an awesome thing to see.
Yeah, he's a big dude going into net. I think he's 6'3". 200-something. I'll get back to you on that. But I think the coolest part of that goal is that Andrew Shaw, who also scored in his first NHL goal and his first shift on his first shot, so they have that in common,
yeah.
Gave him a big hug, was shouting in his face. He was all excited, maybe more excited than Rasmussen.
Yeah, it was really cool. Is it Rasmussen or Rasmussen? Because I heard it said a couple
potato,
of ways.
Potato,
yeah, potato.
It's
going
to be like how long it took us to figure out Teravainen's last name, yeah, first name.
Yeah, and, is it Teravo? And speaking of him, he's got two goals.
It does.
He's got a game or two straight games with a goal.
That's huge.
So
they needed
that
on that line.
Because he's not had the best year.
And no, but it might be turning around now, and it's still somewhat early.
It could be.
If he does.
It could be. We hope so. And the Predators, they're struggling right now. I mean, they came in as a team that was just not playing very well. 3-5-2. They've dropped all the way to fifth place in the division. Blackhawks all the way up in the third place with 34 points. Trailed just St. Louis in that Central Division by 2 points.
Yeah.
So, hey, not bad there. But Nashville came in. They were 3-5-2 in their last 10 games.
Yeah. Just real quick, by the way, Rasmussen, 6'3", 205. But, yeah, getting back to the Predators.
That's a big man.
He's big, and he goes to the front net. That's all you do. I mean, look what Shaw can do in front of the net. As a little guy, he does a great job screening, especially on a power play. But, yeah, the Preds come in without Mike Fisher, so they're missing one of their top two centers right there. Having a little trouble up the middle lately, and Rene hasn't been at his best lately. A lot of subpar games for him, which you don't see. He's obviously a huge goalie, as it is. A big guy, takes up a lot of space, but he's also very athletic. So he's not on top of his game right now, and the Hawks capitalize on that.
And we were very familiar with him coming in to this game because obviously the series that they had in this past cup run.
He usually does a great job against the Hawks. He knows how to play him.
He's good, man. He's a lot of fun to watch when he's not playing the Blackhawks, and you're a Blackhawks fan, but he's a heck of a goalie. And speaking of a heck of a goalie, another great performance last night from Corey Crawford. Just stood on his head and had some fantastic saves.
And another great transition from Mike Jacobson. Yeah, no, he was beyond solid. I thought he had a fabulous game, especially in the third. He made some elite, ridiculous saves on a penalty kill. It was late in the third.
Mm-hmm.
So he ends up making 36 saves on 37 shots. Quinville said he was great, too.
Yeah, and I mean, and to get that approval from Q.
He doesn't hand it out like candy. That's some hard-earned words right there, anytime.
And not with Crow, either.
No,
he is not.
Okay.
Yeah, he did okay.
It's usually, they'll win. You know, 2-1, 3-1. Sometimes I'll go, yeah, it's okay.
But I want to get back to Rasmussen because that's got to be such a cool feeling. I mean, he's battling. I heard Brian Bickle talk about it too. You know, that he was so happy for him because they obviously played together when he was down in Rockford, and now Bickle's back up. A couple days later, he comes up and he gets his first career NHL goal in front of the home crowd too. So that's just got to be a great moment. And actually, after the game, he had this to say about that historic goal for him, his first ever in the NHL.
Yeah, the guys were kind of kidding with me about it after, too, that we worked on it yesterday and I scored on the tip. So, and Bickle has been on me pretty much in Rockford, too, because I've scored a couple of goals on the tip. So, yeah, I'm really happy to see it go in.
Yeah, so there you go. So, again, a very cool moment for him. And, you know, it's nice. I mean, he seems like a guy that's very grateful to get this opportunity to be able to come up. And, you know, who knows how long he'll stick around. We'll see.
The other cool thing was after Shaw was screaming in his face on the ice, you saw him on the bench right after. If you're watching on TV, it was right after they played the highlight.
Mm-hmm.
of the goal. You see Kane saying something to him. Rasmussen gets a big smile on his face. Shaw's still yelling at him on the bench. Shaw's all pumped up. It was great. It's great to see that with a player, especially when a guy's called up right away and they're having a little trouble with depth, with some personnel. So maybe he sticks around.
Yeah. Well, you never know. We'll see what happens. It's so hard to predict nowadays. I mean,
it is. With the Rockford bus, it's really, really hard.
With the Rockford files, as I like to call them, it's tough to figure out who's going to stay, who's going to go.
I think he helped his case, certainly. So we'll see. Hopefully he does stay in there.
A guy that we know that's not going to Rockford is Teuvo Teravainen. He had been struggling. But, you know, again, two goals. We mentioned it just a few seconds ago. Two goals in the past two games.
Yeah, back-to-back.
And it was pretty one yesterday, I thought.
Yeah, first he starts out with a beautiful textbook touch pass to Shaw on the power play. Just barely touches the puck as soon as it gets to him. Sets up Shaw right in front of the net.
Mm-hmm.
Great shot from Shaw. So that's how he gets a little confidence going there on special teams. They can use him there again. Awesome wrister too from him. Did he score first? I think it was actually maybe he shot that wrister early in the game.
I think
it was a power play goal, but he got two points last night.
He had 2 points
against the Preds. So, you know, Quinville was not happy with what he was doing. That's why you were seeing him, on a third line sometimes, and obviously having trouble filling that void at left wing. Give him a chance in the last couple of games. He looks a lot better against the Jets. Quinville said Hossa had his best game. So that line's starting to gel. You're seeing not only is it the second line, it's been the best line all year for the team and in the NHL, but you're seeing production from the first line now. They're looking like the Hawks' first line, how they usually look. And I'm sure we'll get more into it later, but you're seeing some depth improve too in a third and fourth line. Great fourth line last couple games.
You know what? And we've been talking about the depth being an issue and, you know, spreading around scoring a little bit besides that second line that has been just dominating everything. So it's slowly but surely.
Right.
We're getting there. We are getting there. This is the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. I'm Mike Jacobson, WGN Radio. He's Scott King from the Red Eye. And Kaner. 600 career points now.
In 604 games. That's at this stage in his career, he's almost a point a game player. And, you know, he easily can be in two games.
And he's
27. Yeah.
27 years old.
Yeah.
How many years do you think he's got left?
Good years.
I mean, you can't play at this elite level.
I'll say
obviously.
Good years, maybe not later years, going into a Hobby Bullen injured reserve type. Well, at least five, right? At least five good years for him. I'm just saying, worst case scenario, you know, God forbid there's a couple injuries that take a toll on him. Five great years, probably. And then, you know, realistically, 7-8.
Yeah.
Maybe, that's the length maybe of his, even maybe even there.
Eight years is the length of his contract, the extension that he signed.
Exactly.
So.
That big contract extension.
He's just been laser focused, and again, we got to give him credit. He's just blocked out everything and has been able to just keep this going. And again, it's the hockey is like a therapy for him in a sense. And he's passing each therapy session with flying colors.
Yeah,
if that makes any sense.
Two games in a row, he gets the point, extends the streak with under 2 minutes left in the game on an empty net in both games.
Yeah, it's just so cool. I mean,
the way he does it.
It's funny. It's like you don't want it to end, and then you're like, all right, it's going to end. You know, all right. But then you said, like you said, they pulled it up. They pulled the goalie, and you're like, okay.
You also know it's Patrick Kane, and he's having a very special year, so nothing's going to surprise you. He's going to find a way.
I still thought that the hand pass on Sunday was way better.
Yeah.
Like, that was a cooler way to get the point.
It was crazy. I was there. So what happens is, you know, again, it's under 2 minutes. There's an empty net. Everyone obviously dying for Kane to get a point somehow.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing on your mind is he's going to get it with a hand pass.
Yeah.
So it happens. You watch Panarin score on the empty net. Everyone in the UC is cheering for the goal, but they're not going crazy yet because they don't know if a hand pass counts as an assist.
To be honest with you, I didn't know either.
But you know, you do see what people are saying, and a hand pass in the defensive zone is not illegal, and you kind of realize, oh yeah, well, a hand pass is a type of pass.
Yeah.
So then once they put it on the board, everyone went crazy. But it was very funny how people were like, does it count? Is it going to count? And then everyone went nuts.
Yeah, I mean, that crowd sounded electric.
Bobby Hull was there. They showed him. You know, very, very special moment.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got Bobby Hull on hand. You know that a potential record could be broken, one that's been in the Blackhawks family for a very, very long time. And you got the Jets in town with, you know, that day you got a couple of ex-Blackhawks that are on, you know, that are on that team that you...
True, good point. Yeah, people forgot about that.
That were part of, you know, the
And he's
first...
still good friends with Byfuglien and probably Ladd, too, so...
Now, do you think Brian Bickell and Byfuglien are still good friends after that massive hit
wow,
that
did
Bickell...
did he level him or what?
He had 7 hits.
Yes, great game for him.
7 hits. And that's it's nice to see some physicality.
Well, he doesn't want to go back down. He said that. I mean, he doesn't need to say it. He... a ton of points in Rockford. You know, it's AHL, and he's an NHL player, but he was proving that he has that desire and he has that ability. So what does he do early in a game? He lights up Byfuglien.
And Byfuglien
had no clue he was coming.
And 97% of the people that are listening to this know that Big Buff's a big man.
He's hard to knock down.
He's a huge guy.
Your colleague Troy Murray said he doesn't think anyone's ever hit Byfuglien that hard. I thought that was a great line. It's probably true.
Probably.
He's a brick wall.
He probably. But, I mean, you could tell that Bickell is playing with a sense of purpose, and he's playing as a guy that doesn't want to lose his job again.
No, and hopefully, you know, he was, even when Quinville was unhappy with him, they are paying him a ton of money to not just hit, too. It's great when he's noticeable and he lays out big hits like that. Kane said it set the tone for the game, after the game. But he does need to score like he was in 2013, late in the season in the playoffs. He needs to find the net, too. But as long as he keeps laying out those big hits and setting a pace and, you know, bringing that kind of game, he'll be okay. But it'd be great to see him score, too. I'm sure the Hawks are thinking.
I know he was quoted as saying that there wasn't a day that didn't go by he didn't think about coming back up.
Yeah,
he said he thought about it every single day. And that's a motivated man.
Man who, on a mission, for sure.
And on a positive mission this time. And we've known that he's had some confidence issues in the past. So, you know, the way he's starting, you know, the first couple of games back, he's still getting his skates underneath him. But the fact that we are noticing him is definitely a good sign and bids good for his future.
Also in that Jets game, you had Desjardins, Kruger, and Garbutt playing on the fourth line. Great game that game. Even Q said they look good. And then they get another game, a good game against the Predators too. So like we said, finally some depth. And Shaw and Rasmussen, obviously some chemistry there too with Bickell.
And a nice streak that was going that kind of gets lost because of the point streak that Kane is having. Duncan Keith's had a 6-point game streak that just ended last night. It just fizzled out,
but I believe, yes.
But, I mean, he has 6 games with, you know, and that's another, we just take advantage. This guy, he had knee surgery. He comes back 2 weeks early.
Also, not only did he have knee surgery, he was insulted at the question that he was back so soon. Like,
yeah.
He's not amputated. He said that. He's like, well, it's not amputated.
Yeah, I mean, he comes back 2 weeks early, and he's got 11 points in 11 games since returning. I mean, that actually ended last night, so 11 points in 12 games.
Yeah, just a ridiculous difference maker.
In every aspect. He's a great defenseman, and he's great offensive defenseman.
Mike, when you guys had Richards on, Cap and Hall, and he said that he's like, look, you do not want to screw up on this team. Guys like Keith, and I think he said guys like Kane too, hold you accountable for your mistake. So that's another reason, like you said, so many things he brings.
And you're talking Brad Richards, who's
he's been around.
Yeah, this isn't
Conn Smythe winner, two cups.
This isn't Dennis Rasmussen saying
no,
this.
Not a new guy.
You know, he's not a new guy. But you're talking, I mean, he's been around forever.
It's like, yeah, you interview the guys and young guys, they say these guys are some of the nicest guys they can meet or you can meet, but they will hold you accountable. There's a certain standard when you're playing with the Hawks, game in and game out.
Yeah, there really is, and that's why you got 3 cups in 6 years.
Exactly.
So, there you go. The Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. We are live here from the Tribune Tower, 7th floor, Studio A. I am Mike Jacobson from WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the Red Eye. And I actually, speaking of the Red Eye, I kind of want to get into your stories. That you had a couple of great stories, and I'm going to just kind of lead it down.
Thank you.
I want you to kind of explain to everybody. You had a great feature on the bread man, Artemi Panarin, who has obviously been very, very impressive in his rookie season, and everybody is just amazed by his ability on the ice, but he's actually a pretty cool guy off the ice, too.
Yes. No, thanks for mentioning. Yeah, go get a red eye today. It's not too late. They should be in the bin still. Cover story, 2 stories for the cover of the red eye today. But yeah, Panarin did this feature on him. I was talking, I think I've mentioned this before, I was talking to Roenick for another story, got Roenick to give some quotes on Panarin, and he's so impressed with him. And it's not just the stick handling and his speed. He said his confidence and decision making. It really impressed a guy like Roenick, and that says a lot there. But getting into the fun part of the story, again, anytime you want anything at Panarin, unfortunately, Tiganov's gone now.
But yeah, we lost our translator.
Yeah, I don't think Anisimov is going to do as good a job or you know, because Tiganov knew him playing in Russia. So
yeah.
They were buddies. They were hilarious. I think Mark Lazarus described them as a vaudeville act in the locker room.
Yeah, basically.
They're two funny younger guys. But Tiganov translating for him, I was asking him about Panarin. He said he's seen all the fans' memes of him there. He's like, yeah, one time I went there, I had a cup of tea. It's funny to hear him just kind of joke about that. He said he would love a partnership with them. That's all in the story. And also, I asked him for his favorite American TV show, and he said Prison Break. And when I asked him why, when I pressed him a little bit, he goes, I like when they're in the prison.
All right.
So,
there you go.
So maybe he'll like Orange is the New Black, too. I don't know.
Wow. I'm trying to think. Prison Break. That was a long
time
ago.
Yeah, years ago. It was only two seasons, too, I think.
Yeah, but I know it was popular. I think it was on Fox. But I remember, yeah, that's a long time ago. That's kind of interesting. That's not what I would have expected out of him. And he's a big – he loves to read. He's a reader.
Yeah, a lot of self-improvement books, Tiganov was saying.
Yeah. So that's I thought that was an interesting part of the story, too. So, yeah, pick up your red eye. And then the other story that you had on some of the younger guys as well.
Yeah. No, obviously a much younger team now. And sometimes when you work on a story like this and you have a deadline that's just a little bit away, things can change. Like Dano, obviously, out of the lineup the last couple games. He's mentioned in the story. But big focus on Teravainen and Panarin and how much of a younger team it is now. I start the story by saying you don't see the nameplates, you know, Sharp, Sauter, or Duya. You have these younger guys now, and they're going to need a lot of mentoring from a Taves, from a Keith. And there's some cool stuff in here. Caro said about what Taves told him, how he helped him and encouraged him. In the locker room.
Now he's back down in Rockford.
Now he's in Rockford, too. Yeah, so that's another thing with the story. But it's interesting to hear what it's like, you know, obviously not only trying to make it in the NHL and play your first game and when you do get consistency, but playing with the Hawks and, again, that pressure and how hard it is.
It's got to be intimidating.
Yeah.
I mean, you come up and you got arguably the two of the top five players in the NHL in Taves and Kane on your team. You're playing for a coach like Joel Quenneville. I mean, it's got to be pretty nerve-wracking, particularly when you first come up, and then you say, "Oh crap, I don't want to lose my job," and then maybe you start overthinking, and you know, I think that's why I think a lot of these guys, I think it's a good thing when they come up and then they get sent back down, and then they come up again because it's a good learning process. It keeps you hungry
for sure,
and then you know what to do next time. In order to try to stay, you know, with the team on the roster instead of having to go back to terrible Rockford. We've already talked about that city.
Yeah, also in the young guy's story, Mike, there was another great quote from Roenick. I just asked him about what it's like. I think I prefaced the question like, you know, what's it like when you go to training camp and you see there's a bunch of young guys in the locker room? Because he's played for so many different teams. You know? He said the young part of the game is one of the most exciting parts of the game. Especially as a veteran, you look forward to watching young talent come up. You look forward to helping those kids and the fact that you could have a long-lasting impact and put a fingerprint on some of these kids that really look up to the veteran. So, guys, maybe that's why things are working out now. You have a Teravainen coming into his own, and Panarin obviously creates a lot of excitement on the ice and in the locker room, and guys like seeing that development that have been there a while.
Well, and, you know, and these veterans – you are always competing for your job and everything else, but they've been there before.
For sure.
And it's nice to be able to kind of lend a helping hand to some of the younger guys. And
yeah,
it's a lot of stuff off the ice, too. How to take care of yourself, for instance.
Yeah, make sure you go to these meetings at this time.
Do this.
Yeah,
and, you know,
eat
like
this.
Even
right.
Conditioning stuff and nutrition and sleeping habits and all that good stuff. Because when you're younger.
I mentioned what Taves told Carol. I didn't say exactly what it was. I was reading real quick. I'm sure people were salivating, trying to. No, it's a cool message. Taves, before I get into this, I know Ben Smith, when he was here, told me, like, as soon as he got called up, Taves grabbed his phone and put his number in. So he is that kind of a leader and captain, and he really cares about the
rookies.
Always liked
Ben Smith.
He's a good guy. He's a very nice guy. It's, you know,
he's a good talker.
We're going to get into concussions later, but he's had a couple incidents, which is fairly unfortunate. Hopefully he can keep playing. But anyways, Taves to Caro. Caro just saying his main message is you want to work as hard as you can and never take a shift off. So, you know, same old, but it's nice to hear from Taves. Just keep it simple. Work hard, stay here, do what you can to improve yourself.
Yeah, and, you know, the fact that that's why he's such a good leader, and he's an old man in a young man's body. He's like the old wise man, but we keep forgetting, he's 27 years old, and even though he's got an old soul, as I guess you would like to say there. So the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast, again, I'm Mike Jacobson, he is Scott King, and kind of get into a more serious topic. We touched on it at the top of the show, and former Blackhawks defenseman, played for several teams, I believe five in his career, six NHL teams. Steve Montador, his family sued the NHL yesterday, and from the story, accusing the league of failing to keep him reasonably safe and not providing him with the crucial medical information on the permanent ramifications of brain trauma, you know, e.g. CTE is essentially what that is. And, you know, 35 years old, passed away. It was considered an undisclosed cause that he died of.
You don't need to know the details of that.
That's... Yeah. And then his brain was donated, and an autopsy showed that, he had widespread CTE. And, you know, that causes a lot of issues, including memory loss and headaches and depression and impaired judgment and everything else. And sad story. And I know a lot of people, when they think CTE, they only link it to NFL because that's what, you know, we got this concussion movie that's coming out, or I think is already out, with Will Smith, and all the, you know, the issues that the NFL has had with CTE. But this is going to be a serious problem, and it is a serious problem for the NHL as well.
Yeah, to play doctor for just a second, I only play a doctor. I'm not one on the podcast. but no, to break it down, people wondering exactly what CTE is. It's chronic traumatic. I believe it's encephalopathy. Let's try that again. Encephalopathy. But anyways, like Mike said, terrible symptoms: memory loss, impaired judgment, depression, and progressive dementia. And I think maybe, again, I don't know, but I think probably the hardest symptom to deal with would be the dementia. And to not to change gears too much, but that's why, you know, Robin Williams was having such a tough time, and a similar situation happened with him, even though he's older, is that these symptoms, regardless of how you get them, are so tough and hard to deal with.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you talk to guys in the league, you talk to Carcillo, who's, like we said before the show, has kind of taken this up as a cause to educate people and to hope the league can do the right thing and to make more people aware and help people get treatment. But yeah, a very sad thing. And now there's going to be some ongoing lawsuits, not just with this case, but I believe there was 200 other NHL players filed a similar lawsuit against the league.
Yeah. And the commissioner, Gary Bettman, has come out and said some pretty foolish comments, and at least in my opinion, saying that there isn't a link with the CTE in playing in the NHL, and that's absolutely ridiculous. Medical science is proving that wrong.
There are doctors and brain trauma experts are saying that there's an obvious link.
Yeah, and, you know, he said before, you know, previously that, you know, that they were not going to litigate the case publicly.
Well, they know
to me, they got to get out in front of this, and
they do
quickly.
Yeah, and those, like you said, those comments early on certainly didn't help him or the league. But obviously when you're someone in his position and there's this, you know, what could be a huge negative draining thing, you want to say that's not going to be public, but it's going to be public.
Yeah.
This is not going to go away because of, you know, friends of people who have gone through this like Carcillo. And I think that's one of the reasons, if not the main one, that the guys maybe or people on the team got his name on a cup last year, because this was such a tough thing for him to go through, being good friends with Montador. I know there was a game around the time that this happened. I think it was in the middle of the season, maybe, in the middle of the regular season. And I'm pretty sure he said he just couldn't go. He told Quenneville he didn't want to play. This was way too much for him. And I know he also said when he was talking about this last year that Sharp and Taves would regularly check on him and see how he's doing, because, you know, they knew he was going through this. And a lot of guys on the team, not just him, were friends with Montador.
Yeah, I mean, Montador, he played in 641 games and was involved in 69 fights.
Right.
And according to the lawsuit, quote, thousands of subconcussive brain traumas and multiple concussions, many of which were undiagnosed and or undocumented. So, you know, I think that lawsuits like this, foundations like the ones that Daniel Carcillo has set up, it just keeps the story out there, it keeps that narrative alive that, hey, we, you know, the NHL is going to need to do something about safety and trying to make the game safer.
Much more than, hey, just read these flyers. And exactly. I think that's what all this is about, the lawsuits and causes like Carcillo's, is just do more to bring awareness, if not a way to get treatment.
So so moving on from the Steve Montador story to a segment that we do each and every week, King's Keys. We do this each and every week. It's called the King's Keys. It is Scott King, who is the co-host here from the Red Eye, gives his keys to the next couple of games coming up in order for the Blackhawks to pick up a couple of points in each of them. What do you got today?
All right, King's Keys. Key number one, Tavo needs to keep being greedy. That was his problem early on in the season. Quinville talked about it a lot. He was not always looking to shoot. Now, like you said, back-to-back games with a goal, good things are happening, especially being on that top line. So look to shoot for him. He's got that skill.
And not getting too fancy. Sometimes he gets too fancy.
Too fancy, and he was always, in my opinion, and a lot of other people's, was looking to get rid of the puck right away, to look for a guy maybe a little more open than him. But with that shot, just shoot. And hopefully he keeps doing that. He has done it already in back-to-back games. Key number two, keep the confidence flowing. Coming off of two big wins now, and the team is playing as a unit. Finally, kind of the first glimpse we're seeing where there's consistency, where every line has looked good in the last two games. So everyone on the Hawks just needs to continue to worry about their role from the first line. Guys like Tavo shooting and being consistent there, to the second line that's been awesome. Third line, good with Rasmussen now, and Sean Bickle, consistent there, to the fourth line. Great tight checking line, adding Garbutt in with Desjardins and Kruger. So just keep the confidence flowing, stick to your job.
There you go, King's Keys. For the next couple of games here, they've got Thursday, or tomorrow, I should say, they've got Nashville.
Rematch.
And then they got, if I'm not mistaken, then right after that, they play the Jets again. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they have the Jets on Friday.
You're going to see some the friendly man dance with Bickle and Bufflin there?
You never know. That might be early on, too. Might be early on.
Opening face-off, like in the 80s, one of those fights?
You never know. You never know. Those guys, they're like buddies, too. So I don't know. I don't see it
going down. It's
hockey.
Yeah,
like
maybe
that.
Bufflin just lays a few big hits. It's hockey.
But you never know. Some guy might say something, and something might get started. So sure, we'll keep an eye on that, that's for sure. So this part of the program, before we wrap things up here on Episode 8 of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast.
It is crazy.
We do take your questions, and you can submit questions to us all week long. Best way to do it is probably through our Facebook page, and we are at Blackhawks Crazy, so facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. Also, can go on Twitter. He is at Scott King Media. I'm at Jacobson Radio. You can send those to us and use the hashtag Blackhawks Crazy. So we've got three or four of them here we want to get to. We have more, but I think we're running out of time here, unfortunately. First one is from Timo Mac at Timo Mac 1. Rundblad, really? Give the Swedes Gustafsson and Svedberg a chance. Why not? Yeah, we saw a Rundblad sighting last night, and yeah. I've got it. I looked it up and put it in my notes. First time he was on the ice for the Blackhawks since October 29th, and they also played the Predators then.
Oh, wow.
Ironically enough, so that's a long time, a long hiatus, but he was back out there last night.
Yeah, and want to say real quick, I saw today it was reported that Daly is going to travel. I don't think we touched on this, that Daly's going to travel to Nashville, so he could play in that game. So maybe to this question, maybe you're not going to see Rundblad again for a while. And I also like how Timo Mac worked in about four questions in one question. Rundblad, really? Give the Swedes Gustafsson, Svedberg a chance. Why not? It's like three, four questions. But no, yep. I understand what he's saying. Obviously, Gustafsson and Svedberg looked good in camp and in the chances they got in regular season games. But hopefully Daly back in soon. And Rundblad made a good play with his missing a stick. And I think he got Anisimov's, maybe? Does that sound right? I think it was his, and was able to make a play, kind of a poke-check play, and possibly save a goal last night. So he didn't look bad. So if Daly's not ready to go, it's probably easier they keep him. And I think they couldn't call up anyone when Daly was hurt because Rockford was on the road. So yeah. I think it was a tough situation.
Yeah, so, and Trevor Daley again, I mean, that was a very scary scene. I know you were out there. I mean, you could probably hear a pin drop in the United Center.
Yeah, you see a stretcher come out. It's awful.
So, fortunately, it's not serious. They're calling it an upper body. So
traveling with the team.
Traveling with the team. But when you first see that, and you know they did it for precautionary reasons, but you still get that weird feeling in your stomach. But it was nice to see that it was not
same as
serious.
When Hossa got hit by Torres. Same thing. Same feeling.
Yeah, it's scary thing. So moving on here, though, we got Julie Patron, I think it is. Has Bickle earned his way back, or is it temporary? That's a good question.
It is a good question. It actually is a very good question.
I think the way that the Blackhawks are treating it is temporary, but I think he has very much, I mean, if he proves himself, I think it could be permanent. But I think the way the Blackhawks are treating it at this moment, I would say temporary.
Yeah, my answer to that question is yes and yes. There wasn't much more he could have done in Rockford. What did he get, 12 points in 7 games, I think? And a huge hit right away to set the tone in the game against the Jets. Looked good again on the third line last night. So there wasn't much more he could do, you know, to come back and to prove himself. And he's already noticeable. So again, though, with Quenneville, not many guys are safe that if they're not contributing or have a couple bad games in a row. So it could be temporary. I guess it's up to him. But he, as of now, he has earned his way back.
Next question here is from Brian Zarek. And it's, is Tara Vinen the guy that the Hawks have been looking for to stabilize that first line? What is next for Dano, considering he is expected to fill that void?
Well, to answer this question, I'm going to quote the movie The Dark Knight. Tabo is not the hero they wanted, but he's the hero they need right now.
Ooh.
Yeah, don't you want to watch that now? It's a great movie. Just on the show.
That was beautiful.
No, yeah, they traded for Dano. They asked for him in that trade because they thought he would be on the top line there, playing with those guys. But you know, obviously wasn't fitting in the way they wanted him to. So they bump up Tara Vinen in there, and he's got 2 goals in 2 games. And
Dano, you got to, again, consider the guy's 20. Just it'll take some time. And he'll start getting more comfortable. But it's nice to see Tabo finally start to turn it around a little bit.
He'll stay there if he keeps playing the way he's played, too. So he could be there for a long time.
And the last question before we wrap things up here, Christopher Canadian. What is that?
Fury. Canadian Fury Lawans.
Christopher Canadian Fury Lawans. I like that. I was like, is that a misprint?
It must be his legal name.
That's funny. Will Machinter be sent down anytime soon? I don't know. To me, Machinter's a guy. I mean, we've talked about him before. The guy, he's up here. He's only going to be playing 5 to 7 minutes as it is. To me, I think people make too big of a deal out of him. Like, what are you going to do with Machinter? What are you going to do with Machinter?
Yeah.
He's not a key guy as it is. And I think he could be one of those guys that just might be in that rotation going back and forth from Rockford.
Yeah.
So,
like we said, the fourth line looks good now. So is the third line. I think he would only end up playing on fourth line for a few minutes, like you said.
Yeah, he's not going to be. He won't get up to the third.
No, the team looks good now as it is. He's there as an extra body. Maybe if they do play a bigger, tougher team and, you know, someone's either injured, coming off an injury or is hiding an injury, maybe for some, you know, John Scott-esque protection, they put him back in. God, do I miss him. But, no, I don't think he's
going
to sent
down. Did I read something that he's leading the NHL vote?
You read correctly.
No, in the fan vote. No way. Wow, how about that?
God bless him. That's fantastic. Long time coming.
I had a buddy of mine send that to me, and I said, that can't be real. He's like, oh, it's real.
Real. Rain.
So it's there you go. So, I didn't think we'd get a John Scott mention in here.
I couldn't help myself.
On the podcast.
So, no, I don't think Machinter will be sent down anytime soon. But you don't know. It's just he's just there if they need him. Things are good. So it could go either way, honestly.
Well, there you go. That is episode 8 of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Again, you can follow us on Twitter. I am at Jacobson Radio. He is at Scott King Media. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. You can submit questions or any thoughts on the podcast as well using the hashtag Blackhawks Crazy on Twitter as well. And another fun edition, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure.
Good times. We will be back hopefully next Wednesday. We try to do it on Wednesday, but we will have another episode next week. Till then, go Blackhawks.